Hey, Don Quincy, my man. How in the world are you?
I'm wonderful. How about you, Ricky Ware?
So, you want to do any better? I couldn't stand it being an old dude like I am, but you want to know about Kentuckiana and WAKY?
Yeah, you were there at the very beginning in 1958, right?
I was just a kid. My wife was just a kid. We just got married, and I went to work for Lyndon Johnson at KTBC in Austin, and it was a great deal. Man, I was really going to go somewhere. And one night I was doing my show, and I got a call. And this guy says, Ricky Ware? And I said, yes, sir. He said, this is Gordon McLendon. Well, that's kind of like Billy Graham getting a direct call from God.
He was a big-time radio guy.
Oh, he was the dude. And I said, well, Gordon, how are you? He said, let me tell you something. I'm fixing to put a radio station on the air in Louisville, and we might want you to come to work for us. What do you think? And I said, well, I'll be glad to talk to you. He said, tell you what. I've got a couple of tickets for you and your wife tomorrow on Trans-Texas Airways, which was, we called it Low Gear Airlines. But anyway, said, y'all come on to Dallas and we'll talk about it. It's okay. We jumped on the airplane next morning, got to Dallas. That was before these things where you taxi up and get off and go right through the deal. You had to get off the airplane and walk to the hangar. And we get off the airplane and here's this red carpet and this big old automobile was there. Well, who the heck's on that airplane? What is this deal? Well, it turned out it was us. Gordon sent a limo out to pick us up, and we got in the limo, and man, by then he'd already hired me because I said, man, this is the way to go. We went to his office. He said, look, I want you to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and put WAKY on the air. Well, what they did at that time, Gordon always had three or four of his regular guys that were involved with a news station, and then he'd bring two or three new guys in that were learning the trade, and I was one of those. And I said, oh, really? Well, now, what are we talking about in the way of money? Now, you know what time this was in the history of radio.
Yeah, late 50s.
He said, $900 a month. Well, in Austin, I was making $600, and that was more than the program director was making. I said, well, I guess we'll do that. So we went home. Mom and I jumped in our brand-new 57 Ford with all the goodies on it, hooked my hot rod on the back of it, we went to Louisville, Kentucky. Now, here's the funny thing. Now, we got to Louisville. Gordon had rented a whole motel for those of us who are going to put the new station on the air. And by the way, as unusual it might sound, it was the Lone Star Motel. It might still be there. I don't know. And it was all the booze and all the chow and all that. And the next morning, we had to be at the radio station. Now, keep in mind, I met Gordon one time. And we all show up. We're having a meeting with Gordon. We had a new general manager. He'd been hired from El Paso. His name was Herb Golubek, and Herb was just as nervous as he could be. And we were sitting there in this big meeting, and not having any better sense than I had, Gordon was going through what we're going to do and so on and so forth. And I don't remember what the point was, but he said, blackety, blackety, blackety. And I said, Gordon, that's BS. And, of course, I'm going to work for Herb Golubek. And Herb jumps up out of his chair and says, you don't tell Gordon that. I said, no, I do tell Gordon. That's BS. Gordon looked at me and he said, you know what? You're right. We'll do it a different way. That's the way Gordon McLendon always was. And so, later in the day, my wife had never met him, but the old WGRC, which was the old WAKY, was a union station. They found out we were coming in there, and we all operated our own boards, done all our own work, and all of a sudden, the union's very unhappy, because no, we're going to have board ops and all that, which we weren't going to have, but the union said we were, and when it turns out we were all coming in there to take over the radio station, everybody quit. Everybody quit, resigned, hit the door. Didn't have anybody do the logs or anything else. So my little wife, who was at that time 18 years old, she was doing the logs. She was answering the phones. She was doing all that kind of stuff. And here I had told Gordon, that's BS, in a meeting early. And I went down the hall, and she was answering the phone. And I said, darling, how's everything going? She said, well, I don't know, but I just had a problem with a salesman. And I said, really? She said, yeah, I did. He wanted me to write a letter. And I told him, go write your own letter. I don't have time. I'm doing everything else. And I said, well, who was that? She said, a guy in a blue suit. It was Gordon McLendon. So here's two kids. I said, well, we're going back to Texas pretty quick. Meanwhile, the next morning, Gordon puts us on the air. We had not received, if you know what it means, the telegram. And the telegram is from the FCC saying that Gordon's new ownership had taken effect and the old cornpone radio, WGRC, had become WAKY.
Now, what was WGRC like? Did you hear much of that?
It was country, and it was terrible. It was awful. In fact, Gordon put all of us on the air, and he said, sound as bad as you can sound. Now, let me tell you, if you're a radio dude, and you go on the air, and you're used to wanting to do well, and you're told to sound bad, that's hard to do. So, I was old country boy, and a couple of them other guys was old country boys, and we were saying, how in the hell are you, and blah, 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 and it was pretty bad. But that's what he wanted us to do while we were waiting for the telegram. It was really funny. Here I am on the air, and we were on the, I don't know what floor, the Kentucky Home Life building in downtown Louisville. They're tearing down that particular studio and building a new one two floors up. And I turn around, and here's an elderly man who I didn't know and two rather elderly ladies, and they were in there talking, and I was on the air. And I turn around and said, hey, guys, I appreciate it. I don't know who you are, but I'm on the air, so if you would mind, don't talk while I'm on the air because you're messing me up. I go back on the air, and they're talking again. And I turned around again. I said, would you please quit that? And I'm not going to tell you again. I don't know who you are, but don't do it again. I turn around and go back on the air, and they're yapping again. I turn around and said, get your butt out of my control room. And I ran them out. Well, it turned out it was B.R. McClendon, the chairman of the board. Gordon's mama, Mrs. B.R., and the gal who was in charge of all the money. And I'd thrown them out of there. So here in 2 days' time, a day and a half, I told Gordon he's full of BS. Mama had told him, you go fix your own letter, and I'd thrown his mama and daddy out of the control room.
Oh, man.
There was no doubt in my mind we were done. Well, it turns out that 2 days later, we get the telegram, and I'm going to do afternoon drive. So Gordon grabs me. Come on, boy, let's go. We're ready to dance. I said, okay. We run down. We sit down in the control room. He's on one side. I'm on the other. He says, ladies and gentlemen, this is the old Scotchman, Gordon McClendon. You have heard the last of WGRC, Cornpone Radio. Be ready, ladies and gentlemen, for WAKY. We've gone color. Boom, here comes the jingle. It's brand new WAKY radio. We've gone color and all that kind of stuff. As soon as that jingle's over, I jump in there. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you ain't going to hear no junk no more. We're going to sing, we're going to dance, we're going to boogie, here we go. Bang, right into the Purple People Eater. Well, we come out of that, hit another jingle. As you know, Gordon had every kind of jingle in the world for traffic and weather and all that stuff. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, keep one thing in mind. Somewhere out there, there is a check, a WAKY check for $1 million. If you find it, it's yours. Boom, right back into the Purple People Eater. Well, within 15 minutes, the whole state was upside down.
Wow.
Came out of that, came back and did a commercial or two, and I said, now, let me tell you something else. Hey, get ready here. You got your phone there. Let me tell you what. The WAKY mystery phone number is somewhere in the greater Kentucky on a phone directory. And if you're the first one to call it and say, is this the WAKY mystery phone number, you win $1,000. In 2 minutes, you could not make a phone call anywhere in the state of Kentucky.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you could not. It was just, let me tell you, in fact, anybody in the radio business that never did an on-the-air deal with Gordon McClendon just doesn't know what they missed. So anyway, all this is going on, and so I'm doing my show, and it's the Ricky Ware make-believe swimming pool party.
Okay.
Okay, I had a loop of swimming pool sounds and all that stuff. And I had special bits that I was doing, all that kind of stuff. And I kept saying, it's the make-believe swimming pool. Well, the kids didn't realize that. And they were literally tearing the Kentucky Home Life building apart with their bathing suits and their all their goodies trying to get to the swimming pool. And the people would tell them at the elevators, hey, the swimming pool is full. You can't do that. The next thing we knew, they were grabbing the fire escapes and going up the fire escapes, trying to find the make-believe swimming pool. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, every big name in the radio business was coming to see us. Now, keep in mind, I'm a young kid. I had just turned 20. I didn't have the sense God gave a goose. And all of a sudden, every big name in radio was coming to see Ricky Ware. Well, I'm saying to myself, hey, this is showbiz. But I got to confess, my head was getting a little, when you're on the radio as a kid, and all of a sudden, K-Star, who at the time was the biggest thing going,
oh, yeah,
and Johnny Ray, and all those people coming there and knocking on your door, you're saying, hoo-ha! And I must confess, too, there were a bunch of young ladies that were doing the same thing, and I was just freshly married, and I'm saying, whoa, wait, whoa-ha-ha. Meanwhile, I'm a racing fan, always have been, and you got a big racetrack across the river there, a quarter-mile track, from Louisville. So I go over there, and who's racing there but A.J. Foyt? A.J. was just a kid. He's 2 years older than I am. But he was a hot dog in midgets and sprint cars and all that. And he finds out I'm at the racetrack, so he says, hey, come over here, and let's drive cars together. Well, I wasn't about to drive a car, but it was pretty impressive that A.J. Foyt wanted me to drive one of his race cars. That's the way it happened with the WAKY when it went on the air. You could not do anything anywhere in the city as a member of the WAKY staff without people just jumping all over you and hugging your neck and doing all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, the only reason I left, well, there was a couple of reasons I left there. Number one, which really ticked me off, there was the banks charged, this is going to sound silly, but the banks charged a fee for checking account. And I said, what is this? I don't like that. Then I believe, if I'm not mistaken at that time, there was some kind of a tax, personal income tax or whatever, that we'd never had in Texas, and I didn't want that. And I must confess to you, a good part of it was that Mimi and I were homesick for Texas, probably, even as good as Kentuckiana had been to us. So I called Gordon, and here again, here's this young kid calling Gordon and making demands. I said, Gordon, I just don't want to stay here. Either send me back to Texas, or I can go back to work for Lyndon tomorrow. And he knew that was true. And he said, well, I tell you what, we got a little problem in San Antonio with the ratings. Would you go back there? I said, you betcha. Well, this August the 22nd, I will celebrate 50 years on the air, KTSA.
Well, congratulations.
It was a fun time. Let me tell you, Kentuckiana is a great place. The only time I ever did a Gordon McClendon on the air thing was at WAKY, and it's a brand new kind of radio, WAKY radio, we've gone color. It was wonderful, and I'm so thrilled to hear that WAKY is back on the air where it ought to be.
How long were you at Wacky?
I was at Wacky about 7 or 8 months, and then I just decided I don't want to do this anymore. It was fun, I enjoyed it, but I want to go back to Texas. And that's what I did. And I got to say, there's some great people there. I mentioned Herb Gollenbeck, and Phil Page was our program director. Phil was terribly impaired. He was on crutches. Funny story, he used to send my wife to get his car in the parking lot, and his car was one of these that you had to drive with your hands. My wife was a 17-year-old girl trying to drive a car with her hands. That was rather funny. But the guy was a magnificent program director. In fact, everybody at that time was just great people. It was just, Lord, I wish everybody in the radio business could do that kind of Gordon McClendon station opening. It was just unbelievable.
Well, tell me about the rest of the air staff. Who were some of the other jocks that were there that put the station on?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I cannot remember their names. But I can tell you that at that time, we were starting with what was a deal that everybody was going with was Voices. And we had a morning guy, and I cannot remember his name, heaven help me. He had about four voices. And in other words, he'd be talking, and all of a sudden, here come this gal, which was him, but it was a voice that he was doing. And then all of a sudden, here come her boyfriend, another guy, and all that. And I was like, well, I'm going to try that. So I did a couple of voices, an old grandpa, and a guy that was always in trouble with the law. And I did those two voices for about 3 months, and I quit it. And I'll tell you why. I would be talking to this voice. The voice would be talking to me. And I was scared to death of what I was going to say, because you would get to the point where it was going so fast you couldn't think that quick. And you might say something you shouldn't ought to say. And back in those days, if you said, oh, crap, you were fired. It was all over. It was all done. If you said, damn, well, your career was ruined. So you had to be very careful of what you said. And when you were doing voices, you could really say something as a part of the voices that you really shouldn't say. And I really think that's probably why most of the people quit doing voices. You don't hear that anymore.
Here's some names from Wacky's very early past. See if you worked with any of these guys. Bill Ward.
You bet.
You remember Bill?
Yes, I do. I don't remember all the names, but now that you mentioned them, I do.
How about Bob Russell?
Bob was there after I left.
Okay.
Keep in mind, most of the people that I'm familiar with who everybody's talking about it being at Wacky came after I did. I was there in the very beginning, but most of them came after that, and they did a great job. I must tell you that we, the Hooper ratings back in those days, that was the ratings, and we ended, it went from WGRC, they didn't even show the ratings, to like 60% and 70% audience participation. As we all left there, Gordon shipped people to different stations and all that, but the station continued to grow. And the guys that came in after that just knocked a home run.
People like Jack Sanders. Did you work with Jack?
Yep, you bet. Well, let me tell you, and I've got to say this, it doesn't matter whether it's at WAKY in Louisville or KTSA in San Antonio or Kiel in Shreveport or wherever it is, the 50s and the 60s. Let me say this. Today is a wonderful time to be on the air. I do news talk now, and I love it every minute of it. But back in those days, it was just an unbelievably fun time to be on the air. And I got to tell you, with the guys doing what they're doing with the new old WAKY, you're going to find it to be just as much fun as it was back in those days. And I hope everybody can have as much fun with it as we did originally, and even more fun than that.